we've started putting on our website. We've started putting little 5-minute videos. We've only got a couple of them on there. I've got several made, but only got a couple of them on there. But we're going to start trying to post at least 2 of those a week right now, and then eventually going to increase that with some other things that we're going to be doing. We're hoping that we'll be able to impact more people. I know on our audio, the Podbean deal where put our audio messages on their Sunday messages. Mike told me the other day that since we started doing that they've been listened to over 1,200 times. Yeah, that amazed me. It's like, really? That's where everybody lives, I guess, is online. So we're excited about that, excited about what God's gonna help us to do to begin to reach out and impact more people's lives. And so thank God for that. We were talking last Sunday about the Word, understanding, receiving the understanding of who we are in Christ and what we've been given. And until you know what you've been given, you're not going to be able to access. It's not going to be a part of your life. But when you understand the Word of God and you understand that it is for you and it's to manifest in your life, that this isn't just something for special people. It's for those that receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so I want us to look today back in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Talking about being doers of the Word and not hearers only. And we've got a lot of hearing going on today, but we need more doing. We need more people that activate and are active in the Word of God, in what God has given. So in James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." I want you to notice that last statement. This one will be blessed in what he does. Praise God. How many want to be blessed in what you do? Praise God. It says this one will be blessed in what he does. Let's pray real fast. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for this people. And Father, we just thank you for your presence. Thank you, God, for your holy presence. Thank you, God, for the word that you've put in our lives, that the engrafted word, the implanted word of God. And I ask you today, Lord, that the word would be planted in our spirits. Lord, that we just wouldn't hear the word, but Lord, it would literally be planted in our spirits. And Father, we give you praise and honor for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. We're talking about being doers of the word. Remember last week we were talking about the looking in the mirror and either the natural image, we either see the natural image of who we are with all of our faults and failures, or we look into the perfect law of liberty where we see the picture of Jesus, picture of Christ. Being a disciple of Jesus doesn't just mean that you believe, you know, that Jesus exists. It means that you are discipled in his ways. You're discipled in who he is. When Jesus walked this earth, he said, "Whatever I see the Father doing, that's what I do." In other words, I am showing you. In one place he said, "I have come to show you the Father. I've come to reveal to you God and what God's like and who God is." When you look at Christianity as a whole, we've had a lot of good moments and we've had a lot of bad moments. We've had some times in our history that we would like to forget about and wish wasn't there. And we've had some really good times. And that is great. And that's because man's involved with it. See, if it was just God, we wouldn't have all this stuff. But he has chosen to work through us, to participate with us, and by doing so, he has added our failures and our faults and our inabilities to His work. Okay? You understand what I'm talking about? In other words, we have a really good way of taking something that's really good and making it not so good. We were talking about the image of God and the image of Christianity. When we look into the perfect law of liberty, we see everything that Jesus has provided for us and the person He has created us to be. If you look in the natural image, then you see everything that's lacking, everything that we seem to not be able to do. But that's where the Word of God has told us that we are in Christ. Learning to move more and more into Christ, into His ways, that's what discipleship is. That's what we're about. That's why we do this thing. That's why we live this. That's why we read the Word of God. It's why we do worship and we rehearse the promises of God. Do you realize that when you're doing worship, it's not just an act, you know, we're not just doing vocal calisthenics. We're actually rehearsing the promises of God. We're singing to ourselves, as the Bible says, to sing to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart. In other words, we are rehearsing the things of God in a way that we actually remember. If I would have you sing the sermon that I'm preaching today, you would remember it. How'd you learn the ABCs? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You know, you teach kids to sing it. I'm 56 years old and I still do that in my mind. Why? Because that's how I learned it. To become an imitator of God, that's a really bad word, because we don't want to just imitate God. We want His characteristics to become us. We want them to be shown through us. And the only way to do that is to receive the Word of God in its truth and in its fullness into our lives. And in backing up just a little bit, in verse 21, it says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your soul." That word implanted is what I want to focus on today. You can't just hear the Word of God. It's got to be implanted in you. To be implanted in you means a whole lot more than just memorizing a verse. If you memorize something, it means you've got it in your mind, but is it part of you? Is it active in you? That's the thing that we've got to practice on, and is it becoming part of our lives. I memorized the 23rd Psalm when I was little, and yet I never understood it, never really understood the application of it until I began to study it, until I began to really digest, until I let it become implanted into my heart. And so the implanted Word, receive with meekness the implanted Word of God. To be a doer of the Word means that you have to walk in faith. Let me understand what faith is. Faith is the ability to accept the fact that something is real. You have faith in it. And you have faith that it works. You know, we use faith all the time. We have faith in a lot of things. If we could just transfer our faith in natural things to our faith in God, then there are so many things you do every day that you don't even stop to think about whether it's going to work or not. Because it's something you just normally do, and it works. We are surprised when it doesn't work. When Jim come in and turned the computer on this morning, it was like, it don't work. That's why we don't have any screen up here today. Because the computer technology just decided it wasn't going to show up today. And so it just quit. So it was surprising that it didn't work. Well, it doesn't surprise me. It surprises me when this stuff actually works. You get some new technical thing, and then you have to buy something else to fix that, and then you buy a program, and you have to buy three more programs to fix the program you just bought. Then you got to get all the bugs out of it. It gets the flu. It gets sick. You know why it does that? Because man created it. So it mimics us. Okay? That's why we gotta start mimicking God. When you look back through Christian history, you see the times where Christianity mimicked the people in charge, and then you see the times where Christianity had the image of God. Okay? There were times in Christianity back in the Crusades. It's the biggest blot on Christianity that there ever has been. They killed more Jews than anything because one priest got the revelation that, and it was all about Jerusalem and all, you know, it was lies from people that were in charge, you know, superstitious things. You know, the whole thing, the whole crusade was started by one priest that said he got a letter from heaven telling them to go and attack, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And it was just nothing but it was the image of man. It was not the image of God. You understand what I'm talking about? Christianity, if you want to know what Christianity is, you got to read about Jesus. Jesus is Christianity. If you want to know what God's like, if you want to know what Christianity is, you got to read about Jesus. Amen. That, because he said, I come to show you the Father. And everything changed when Jesus died on the cross. To be a doer of the word and not a hearer only is to literally have the implantation of God's word in you to where it brings forth fruit, where it produces something that is greater than you are. How many know that everything Jesus is greater than you are? We can't measure up. You know, I don't know where I got it, but when I first started preaching the gospel 30 years ago, 30-some years ago, I had this thing in my head. Like I said, I don't know where I got it, but I had this thing in my head that said, somehow I had to measure up to Jesus. That'll kill you. Because it's impossible. And you end up just being, you know, miserable. Because you're always falling short. You never can get there. And as sure as you think you're getting there, somebody will keep you from getting there. You think you got, man, I'm really measuring up. Next thing you know, somebody just gets on your last nerve. And all of a sudden, it's all gone. You know? Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's why you're laughing. Yeah, you lived it. Matter of fact, some of you lived it this morning on the way to church when you was getting ready for church. You lived it. It happened. But then I got the revelation that I don't need to try to measure up to Jesus. I need to simply receive Him. He is the one that produces. It's the Word that produces, okay? In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Praise God. We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is hard to understand if you try to approach everything with a literal, logical viewpoint. I'm not talking about fantasy, but I'm talking about the fact that you can't measure God according to the powers of this world. And when you're trapped in the ability of man, measuring everything by the ability of man and your experience, you can't walk in faith. Faith has to receive who God is and what God can do and allow that to happen in our lives. Because God can do more than we ever dreamed He could do. God is amazing. He is amazing. You know, you'd think that after 37 years of preaching the gospel that that I would have all this down and I would think, man, I've got it all. Every day, it's like I'm a new student. I look in the Word of God and every day it's like it just grows and I think, man, why couldn't I have got this years ago? You know, why couldn't I understood it? But we have to allow God, the Holy Spirit, to reveal the Word of God in us and make it alive in us, make it implanted in us and make it alive in us. And so the implanted Word is not just about memorizing a verse. It's not just about, you know, hearing it. It's about it becoming a core value in your life. You begin to live this thing. And when you live it constantly, then it becomes a part of you. How many understand that nothing happens without practice and without continually redoing, you know, doing this over and over and over? To be a Christian, to get the Word of God, doesn't mean you hear it one time and do it and then it's over with. No, you gotta rehearse it. You gotta constantly practice. Why? Because that's the only way we learn as human beings. We have to constantly go over this thing, over, 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 and then we finally learn how to do it. And once we learn how to do it, then it's just natural to us. You know, you've heard people say that it's like riding a bike. Once you learn how, you never forget. You know, sometimes that's true. Whenever we practice something over and over and over and it becomes routine, then we don't get it. We don't lose it. Because it becomes part of us. It becomes part of our nature. It becomes part of how we do. You know, if you do the same action over and over and over, then you don't have to try to think about how to do that. When you leave here and get in your car today, you don't have to stop and think, okay, now where does the key go? No, you know where the key goes. Especially if you've got these new push-button things. That's going to quit you. Going to quit you. Because it's technology. We don't have to stop and think about that because we do it over and over and over on a daily routine. When you go to comb your hair, well, that's not a good illustration. Some of you ladies change your hair every day. That's not a good. You men, when you go to comb your hair, well, there ain't too many men in here that comb their hair. It's all buzzed off. Okay, I'm trying to find something here. An illustration. But we have routines that we go through all the time, and once we get that routine down, then we don't have to stop and look. You know, I've got a tool belt that I use when I'm doing electrical work down at the marina, and a lot of times I don't even have to look down to see where my tools are because I've got them on, and it's been such routine that I know where it's at. You know, I know where to reach. That's the way we do with the Word of God. If we don't learn to practice the ways of Jesus, they are implanted to us, they bring forth fruit, but they will not become active in us until we begin to act on them. Okay? To act on it. Faith only happens when you act on a word. Okay? When you act on the faith that you believe. And so the implanted word, the truth that we look at, the truth, the things that we went through last week, all of those have to become implanted in you. And you have to act on those and start living that every day in order for it to become powerful in your life. You can't just hear something and think, well, that's good, or get excited about it, and then just, you know, think, okay, that's over with. No, it's not over with. It hadn't even started yet. We still got to get it. You know, Sister Teresa and Angie and Tammy went to a meeting in, was it Joplin? And with Todd White. While they were there, they were sharing with me testimonies of how they was in that teaching, and then they sent them out on the street to apply the teaching, and they actually seen it happen. They saw people healed because they were in that atmosphere. See, they got it, they were getting the word, and then they were around somebody that lived it constantly. It wasn't just something that was a good idea. It was something that had become part of their life. And when you're around somebody like that, it rubs off. I mean, you begin to believe that it's true. Why? Because you see it. And there's such confidence in that person, it becomes your confidence. You actually start walking in that person's confidence. But you can't just walk in that person's confidence, because after they're gone, you got to have confidence yourself. Okay? So they saw people healed when they went out on the street. That's what Todd White does all the time. He ministers to people on the street and prays for them and ministers. That's what he does all the time. That's his life. And so not only did he teach it, he put them out there to activate it, to act on what they had heard and what and so they could see it happen and practice it. So we can't just say, wow, that's inspirational. That really inspires me. We've got to let it be implanted in us. Amen. When you're around, you want to watch a bunch of grown guys really try to act out. You let them sit and watch professional basketball players for a while and then put them out on a basketball court. They're not going to just go out there and stand around and try to dribble. They got the moves now. A few minutes ago they didn't, but now they got the moves. Because they were sitting and observing this in action. And it's getting in the mind. But if you don't practice it, it never becomes part of you. Okay? In Matthew chapter 13, and verse 3, it says, "Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So Jesus is trying to get a principle across to us here that there is power in the seed. Okay? But the power in the seed cannot be produced until it gets in the right atmosphere. A seed can lay dormant for years and do nothing. But you put that seed in the earth and you give it water, the right temperature, and sunlight, and all of a sudden that seed starts coming alive. Why? Because it takes certain things to activate that seed. Water starts a process in a seed. Once water comes in contact with a seed, then enzymes are released, proteins are activated, and enzymes that are released that begins to cause the outer shell to literally become food for the seed. And when that water and the temperature is right, then that seed, the layer on the seed, the outer layer on the seed, begins to feed that seed, and the enzymes and the proteins begin to break down and begin to feed and activate that seed. And the first thing happens is that seed starts growing a root. It doesn't start growing the stem. It starts growing roots. Before you ever see something on top of the ground, that seed has already been growing down. Why? Because it only has so much power in that seed to feed itself. And the power in the seed, what's activated, the first thing it starts doing is trying to develop a way to sustain itself. And once it grows roots to sustain it, then it starts growing the stem, and that's when you begin to see it begin to pop up above the ground. It begins to grow outside of the ground. And once it starts growing up, in that seed, if you plant an apple seed, one little apple seed, there are thousands of apples in that seed. Just one seed, thousands of apples, if it's put in the right environment. If it's not put in the right environment, then it simply cannot produce. And so Jesus is teaching us that there's a right kind of ground. And the kind of ground that it grows best in is ground that has water, the right amount of water, temperature. The temperature has to be right in order for that seed to begin to break down and start growing. And then there has to be sunlight. Without sunlight, it literally will not grow. You know, since they've got so many satellites up in the air, they have this one satellite that is able to trace photosynthesis. And they begin to notice some over the entire Midwest of the United States. At a certain time, the whole United States on this picture, on the satellite, turns red. The entire middle part of the United States would turn red. And it would cover the whole United States. And they couldn't figure out what was going on. They thought some kind of bad thing was happening. And what they realized, finally, is that what they were seeing was the sun reacting with all the corn in the Midwest. And it was the photosynthesis from the corn growing, that the corn in the Midwest, you know, when you drive through those states, it's just mile after mile after mile of boring corn. You can't see anything but corn. Did you know that that corn produces more oxygen in the air than all the trees? That corn, the corn produces so much oxygen that they can actually see it on the satellite, covering the entire United States. Powerful. And all that began with a little seed. That little seed began to produce and grow because it had the right moisture, had the right temperature, and had the right sunlight. Begin to grow. And not only now does that one little seed produce many, many, you know, thousands of little kernels of corn, but it's also reestablishing and causing oxygen to be released throughout the United States. It's flooding the United States. Every summer, the corn crops in this nation floods this nation with oxygen. And I'm thinking, yay, corn. Never thought much about it before, but now I'm kind of excited about the corn crops. And now I realize that I'm breathing more oxygen because they grow corn. You see, the power that's in that seed, it's doing so many things that we didn't even realize was happening. So the Word of God is like that seed. James called it the implanted word. The word that becomes implanted and rooted in you. It can't be plucked up. See, once it starts growing roots, it's there. And then it begins to reproduce itself in you. The power is in the seed. You just got to give it the right environment through worship in the presence of God. Why do you worship? Why do we spend time worshiping? Because we are producing the right environment for the Word of God. We're producing the right environment for the seed to grow. Through prayer, spending time in His presence and praying, the moisture, the sunlight, the temperature, all determines whether this thing's going to grow or not. Have you ever just been in the right place at the right time seemingly, and all of a sudden a truth just becomes so alive to you? Yeah. That was the planting. You can't just leave it there. Then you got to rehearse it. And you got to meditate on it. You got to think about it. What does this really mean? And to where it becomes application in your life. It's not just something that you see and it inspires you for a moment. There's a lot of things that inspire us for a moment. A lot of things. I get inspired a lot of times when I see people do things. But it's only for a moment, because it quickly becomes clear to me that I'm probably not going to be able to reproduce that. I was telling somebody today that I'm a 20-year-old stuck in a 50-something body. My mind still wants to do stuff. I mean, I still do things. You know, I still try when nobody's around. Sometimes I come in here limping or can't walk real good. Don't worry about it. It's just that I tried something. It didn't work too good. You know, how our sound system can pick up the air conditioner coming on, I don't know. All right. So the seed has to be implanted into our hearts in order to reproduce. And that's what I want us to grab hold of today. The seed has to be implanted in our hearts in order for us to reproduce. If we don't get a hold of this part, the rest of it's not going to amount to anything. Okay? We've got to get a hold of this. And I was looking at this little house today, and I was going to finish that several weeks ago, and the Holy Spirit just kind of told me, he said, no, you can't. And I thought, wow, that's not like me. You know? It's unfinished. But we've got to get these truths. And the truths that we talked about last week and this week is what's going to determine what is produced in you and what's produced through you and through me. Because if it doesn't become part of us, I've been around a lot of stuff that I can get excited about and for a moment maybe mimic. But if it doesn't become part of me, it's going to fade away. It's not going to maintain. You know, it's just gonna disappear. When it becomes part of us, when it literally becomes part of our being, when it becomes part of our thinking process, when it becomes us, you no longer have to try to think about it. Now it becomes a normal part of your everyday existence. You literally live it every day. Okay? If you understand the truth of the Word of God, then you don't have to try. If it becomes implanted in you through revelation and grows and takes root and begins to reproduce itself, you don't have to try to produce that. It just simply produces. It produces itself. That's the power of the Word of God. That's what I was talking about earlier. I used to think that I had to measure up somehow. I don't have to measure up. I need to let Jesus reproduce himself. And that's it. It's not about me. Not about you. It's about Jesus. And it's him being who he is produced in you. So our job is just to make sure it has water. Make sure the temperature's right. And make sure it has lots of sunlight. So that it grows. Praise God. And once it grows and produces, there's thousands and thousands of seeds reproduced and fruit reproduced out of that one seed. When that apple seed is planted in the ground, that apple tree grows, all those apples begin to grow on those limbs, and we pick all the apples off of it. All of that came from that little seed. It was there. Everybody say with me, it's there. Praise God. It's all there. We just got to simply let it come. Stand with me today if you would. Praise God. We got to let it come, begin to come to the surface so that it has power in our lives. Inspirational things is wonderful, but inspirational things fade away, and after a while you become a inspirational addict. You become addicted. You need to be inspired all the time. How many understand that a Christian life isn't always inspiring all the time? A lot of times it's a lot of work. A lot of times there's hardships that you have to practice the Word of God through those hardships. You got to let it become part of you. If you need to be inspired constantly, then you've not got anything implanted in your spirit. Because once it's implanted in your spirit, it works even when you don't feel inspired. It happens. It reproduces itself. Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for this day. God, I thank you for this time together. Father, we pray for revelation. We pray for understanding to be implanted in our spirits today so that we can understand who Jesus is. Beyond our own carnal ability, beyond this world's ability, Father, we want to know really who Jesus is and how, what He is in us. Because we know that He lives today. We see Him. We experience Him. We see the things that He does. And Lord, we want that to become part of our everyday lives. Father, we just praise you for it today. God, I ask today that you would grant us the ability to receive the engrafted Word of God. Lord, that we can go beyond all the hindrances and all the things that would try to block it and receive it implanted in our spirits. Father, we praise you for that today. In the mighty name of Jesus. God, we thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I want you to think about a truth that has been implanted in your heart lately. A truth that has just been implanted. A truth, a revelation that's just come to your spirit lately. I want you to think about that. Meditate on it. And as we worship for a few minutes here, I just want you to feed that. I want you to water that and let the sunlight shine on it. Let's just let God make that truth implant in us to grow roots and to begin to produce in our lives. Father, I just thank you for that today. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for it becoming everyday life for us and not just something that happens once in a while. In Jesus' name.